You are listening to Kilometre Zero by the Cycling Podcast. Powered by Zwift, the fitness app where fun is fast.
Lionel, you're looking some pain there.
Oh, I'm covered in mosquito bites, Richard. I've got polka dot legs after two nights near the lake in Aix-les-Bains.
King of the mosquitoes,
yeah. Oh, but
it gives us, I mean, you know, the third week of a grand tour, your body's going to be breaking down and you're going to be in pain. I guess it's a different kind of pain to the riders.
I'd have thought so, yeah. Although I have done back-to-back rides, ride around the lake at Aix-les-Bains, then today's big ride, no lunch ride, well, let's not forget. So I'm very much looking forward to our dinner here in Grenoble.
Famous no lunch ride, I can see this passing into...
Lucky you didn't get a fringale, you know?
I think he almost did. I think he's having one now, as we speak.
It's in the last 13 hours, I've eaten one small apple tart.
Okay, well, we've ordered dinner, Lionel. Settle down, it'll be fine. But, you know, we've been following the progress of our audio diaries, haven't we, over the course of this tour. And it's funny, each of them has a sort of interesting story to tell and a great insight to offer into their team. I think tonight we're going to hear from a few of them. Nicky's Arndt, you know, his team, Sunweb. They've been on fire, really, and you know, his insight into how they've done that and what they've been doing is fascinating. They had a stage win, of course, at the weekend, another one with Søren Kragh Andersen. Michael Morkov is sort of fully engaged in the battle for the green jersey, which has become one of the really interesting subtexts of this Tour de France.
And, CCC's Matteo Trentin is trying to sort of get in amongst that battle, so maybe we'll hear from Simon Geschke as well about what that's all about.
Geschke himself has been up there in a lot of breakaways. Pavel Sivakov, what a sort of baptism of fire he's had, but in this third week seems to be coming good. His team's overall ambitions with Egan Bernal out the window, of course, but we were speaking on Tuesday evening and he was up the road today and fourth on the stage, which is a decent result. So I think he's gained a bit of confidence from that.
Yeah, well, let's hear from our diarist, the eclectic musette of thoughts and observations from the Tour de France now that they've resumed racing for the final batch of stages before Paris.
Before we go to them, shall I read you what somebody said about Conor Swift's diaries?
Yeah, go on then.
I have to say Conor Swift's been one of the stars for me. Very open and honest, and you know, the thoughts of somebody who has almost not been parachuted into the Tour de France, but I don't think at the start of the year maybe imagined he'd be riding the Tour de France in support of a rider like Nairo Quintana, and he's riding very well, and you know, he's been doing a great job. I mean, unfortunately Quintana's had some bad luck, but his diaries have been a real highlight for me. And Wayne Jones sent us a tweet. I love listening to Conor Swift on the podcast. He sounds like a lovely young lad in an Alan Bennett play who works in a care home, and Nairo is his favourite old resident to look after. That's very unfair on Nairo Quintana. But, Lionel, you do a fantastic Alan Bennett impression.
Well, I was going to say, the peloton's got a Sam Bennett and an Alan Bennett. I woke up this morning looking forward to the stage.
I was going to help Nairo.
Let's listen to the diary, shall we?
Nicky's Arndt, Team Sunweb.
Hey there. Today I want to give you a little insight of Saturday. As you all probably saw, we won the stage with Søren Kragh Andersen, and it was a really nice teamwork that day. And basically, we planned something different, to be honest. We planned to be in a race-winning breakaway that day from the start on, and we were trying hard to get a nice big group on the road which could go for the win, but some teams saw it different. Some teams wanted to go for a sprint and controlled it, and I think there we did as a team again a really, really nice job. And we said as a team, okay, let's adapt. We are not going for the breakaway. We even took two guys back from the breakaway. So Kees Boer and Kasper Pedersen, they waited for the bunch again. And then we discussed on the road. I made a good plan with our climbers. that we try to make the final hard and try to go for the stage win there. And yeah, it was once more really amazing to see how we can adapt, how we can take the race into our hand and yeah, go for the win.
Pavel Sivakov, Ineos Grenadier.
Hey guys, so yeah, yesterday was it's life, it's sport, it's like this. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and you know you cannot win forever. So now is the year. Maybe it's a good moment, actually, you know, to get back. It's been a weird year, and yeah, it's tough for sure. It's tough for the team, it's tough for Egan. Yeah, we move on. The motivation is still there, you know. The mood is good. The atmosphere is good in the team. I think, you know, you have to just analyze why it happened and keep moving forward. Now there is another last week, of course. Now the GC is gone. You know, fighting for a top 10. I don't know what's the plan of the team, but I mean, for us, we came to win. So I think now, from now on, it's going to be trying to go for stages. I'm pretty motivated for it as well. I mean, I'll try to do my best for it, even if, you know, okay, yesterday I was, again, I wouldn't say I'm going better. I think it's more like people is getting more tired, so I'm staying with the first group longer. We'll see how it will go on the last week. I mean, obviously for me, yeah, it's still not the perfect tour. But yeah, I'm here to learn and I enjoy being on the tour here. But honestly, like, the race is super hard. So it's not like you really, really love that as well. Because I suffer a lot every day. I mean, everyone suffers. But yeah, it's not what I expected and how I expected to be here. Again, yesterday was a tough day. But yeah, I mean, I'm still there.
Lucas Polsterberger, Bora Hansgrohe.
Hi guys, hope you're doing fine as well, like me, enjoying the rest day. Yesterday was a pretty hard one, Grand Colombier. I actually forgot about this climb. I did it, I think, already twice, but I can't remember. So my brain is working pretty good. It deletes all pain. Anyway, a nice scenery, to be honest. I mean, we had no struggle in the gruppetto to reach the time cut, so was quite okay. It was a hard stage from the beginning. There was a big fight for the break, and then when the breakaway went, Jumbo decided to chase, and basically I was suffering all day, but I made it to the finish. We will see what's gonna happen. Of course, big favorite is Primož. I know him since, I would say, when I started cycling. Also, personally, we rode in continental level together, the races in Istria and in all Europe too. And actually, we had a chat the other day when we fought back in the Istrian Spring Trophy, when you fight for the one corner to go up to Moto Woon. And it's kind of feeling here in the Tour as well, when you go into the final, it's getting crazy and, yeah, uncontrollable sometimes. But he is my personal big favorite.
Connor Swift, Arkia Samsic.
So, stage 14, yeah, tough day. Not so much physically, a bit more mentally. I was just kind of just not with it from the start, to be fair. It was just kind of a bit of a low day on the bike, low point on the bike. I'm sure quite a few people might have, you know, a day like that during a Grand Tour. And yeah, I experienced one, and I just kind of just wanted to, didn't really have the fight in me, you know, from the start, you know, just even in the neutral zone, because you've got people stressing about trying to get in the move, and, you know, there's always people like wanting to take your space where you're in the peloton or trying to sneak past you, etc., and things like that. And just didn't really have that fight in me, and I just ended up sitting at the back of the bunch just for a little bit and just kind of trying to, you know, refocus or that sort of thing, because I was being a bit soft. And then it was a bit of a bad moment because Bora ended up kicking things off on the climb to try and drop Bennett so that Peter Sagan can, you know, get some points in the green jersey competition. And yeah, at that point when they kicked it off on the climb, 10k climb, I was sat last man and I was thinking, oh no, this is a bad place to be. And yeah, I suffered up the climb, didn't make the front bunch, and then I ended up rolling in with Sam Bennett's group. Quick Step, you know, gave a good chase, but yeah, it wasn't to be. And yeah, I just ended up rolling in with that group, and after the stage, the team kind of wasn't mad with me or anything. They kind of understood, and you know, they said everyone needs a bit of a chilled out day, and obviously, yeah, that was a day for me, and just move on from it, you know, put it behind me. And stage 15, I felt a lot better, more mentally fresh and physically, yeah, better as well. So stage 15, the objective was to kind of, it was a tough day, you know, 100k flat followed by three hard climbs in the final, and obviously a GC day as well. So the team wanted either me, Clement or Kevin in the breakaway, and that was super nice, you know, trying to sniff out the move. The past 14 stages I've always been in the bunch just waiting for the breakaway to go, whereas yesterday it was a case of, you know, trying to surf the wheels, trying to, you know, get in a group of 10 or 20 guys, not attacking, just following a move, and then hopefully being able to, you know, make it over the first climb or so, and then either help Nairo with a bid on or a bit of positioning later into the stage, whereas we might not have normally been there if no one was in the breakaway. So yeah, that was a nice change, and I really enjoyed, you know, being a part of the race yesterday at the start anyway. And then it was Kevin that ended up taking the breakaway in the end, so yeah, solid day out for him. And then my job was just to make sure Nairo was in the top 20 going into that first climb. And then, yeah, job done, and I kind of slugged it to the finish. It was, those climbs, yes, it was pretty brutal. Definitely had the wrong gear choice, 39.28 I had, so I wish I had a 36 up front. And, you know, the upcoming hard stages, I think I'm going to think wisely about my gear choice. And today, just currently on a rest day, so, you know, it's nice just to chill out today. We're at a nice hotel, go out for an hour or so on the bike, a bit of a cafe ride. So yeah, and I'll probably end up watching a bit more of The Fall on Netflix.
Ryan Gibbons, NTT Pro Cycling.
It is now the second rest day. Last few days have been quite hectic. Yesterday's stage 15, was really full gas from start to finish. Big fight for the breakaway as expected, and we had Michael Google there, put up a good fight. But yeah, when the GC guys went for it, it was, yeah, absolute fireworks and a really fast final. I think it's really shaken things down and must be, yeah, super exciting. But the Slovenians are on top, dominating the show. It's going to be a good fight between the two Slovenians at the moment. You know, barring anything out of the extra, you know, the unforeseen happening, I believe Roglic will be really, really tough to beat. Pogacar's putting in a good fight, and I think, you know, if we see he didn't lose time in those crosswind sections last week, he'd be in the yellow jersey right now. But I reckon Roglic is still definitely the man to beat.
You are listening to Kilometre Zero by the Cycling Podcast, powered by Zwift, the fitness app that turns indoor riding into a game. Explore endless roads, race riders from all over the world, and boost your fitness with monthly training plans and structure workouts. Join the world's training playground where fun is fast. Go to Zwift.com and start your free trial.
My name's Greg Henderson. I retired from professional cycling in 2017. My last Tour de France was in 2016. Now I'm a performance coach at Israel Startup Nation. I'm an online coach for Zwift and a Zwift ambassador. There was a thing going around called the Zwift Addict. You know, like all of a sudden they were just changed. They just all of a sudden, like, it was always, oh, I'm like, I can't ride on inside, I can't ride indoors, I've got to be outside. And then all of a sudden they get the hookup from Zwift, and away they go, these pro riders. All of a sudden they're knocking out these huge rides on Zwift. But no, they all saw the performance gains. They could see exactly the intensity was huge, the structure was awesome, and obviously during lockdown a few of the countries weren't actually even allowed outside their apartments to ride their bikes, so Zwift became like instrumental to keeping them either slightly sane or and of course reasonably fit. Okay, we missed that aerobic, that large aerobic capacity, which would come with your huge volume. But you know, when it came to capacity, VO2, all that sort of thing, that was already done. So you almost had to reverse engineer your training program for the guys, so that when they did get out, it was all they had to do was go and ride their bikes and enjoy it, and the intervals and the capacity and this, everything like that was done. It was just now about putting the volume back in the legs.
Simon Geschke, CCC team.
Hello everyone, this is Simon Geschke again from the CCC team, and time for another update. The second and third week was going very well for me. Yesterday I was in my third breakaway of the tour, and twice we made it to the finish. Finished the stage with two solid results, and it was really nice. Twice I was also already in the break with my teammate Matteo Trentin, who is also having a good third week, obviously. And he's going, he's having an eye on the green jersey. So for him, it's always good, nice to be in the breakaways to score points in the intermediate sprints. And now he's sitting third, only 12 points behind Peter Sagan, who's second. So it's not such a bad situation for us. And the intermediate sprints a couple of years ago, they changed the point system. And yeah, now the intermediate sprints, they have more importance for the green jersey again. And you saw it in the past also that Sagan was going in a lot of breaks and scored points, especially in the mountain stages. So there is a whole tactic around these intermediate sprints also, and you see it now. It actually really has impact on the whole race, on how the race develops with the breakaway. You saw it the last couple of days that Sagan is trying to go on breakaways, and Quickstep closes the gap again. Because obviously they don't want him to be in the breakaways and score 20 points in the intermediate sprints. And Matteo was a bit the laughing third, I would say, because Sagan and Bennett were watching each other. And so Matteo went in the breakaway, and now he's actually getting close to move up to second. And this stuff is really important. Of course, when you finish third in the points classification in Paris, it's... For a guy with the Palmares of Matteo, of course, it's not a big result. But on the other hand, you should never give away points too easy, because you never know what happens. It could be that Bennett has a bad day and goes out of time limit, and Sagan doesn't reach Paris for whatever reasons. I made the experience 2 years ago, no, 3 years ago already. I was teammates with Michael Matthews, and he won the green jersey in Paris. And we had the same approach, fight for every single point. And then in the end, the green jersey goes to the guy with the most points in Paris, and not for the best sprinter of the first week. So once you have the most points in Paris, that's where it counts. And in the end, Cavendish crashed out, Kittel crashed out, Sagan was sent home for dangerous sprinting, for a move he did. And Michael was the guy that had the most points in Paris, and he won that jersey. And this is the approach that you should have, and then you'll see where you end up in Paris. And for now, Matteo is third, but with these moves in the breakaways, he already scored a lot of points already, and this is definitely a good thing. And he's a smart rider, and hopefully he can maybe even move up to second. And in Paris, there are also a lot of sprints, a lot of points for the sprint. So we will see. I think there's still a small chance that he might get it, and the way he's riding now is definitely a good approach to it, in my opinion.
Michael Mokov, Dukeny Quickstep.
So absolutely, the fight for green is on, and it's not only a fight against Peter Sagan, but also Matteo Trentin from GGG is coming closer. Today he was in the breakaway, and he grabbed 20 points, so he's also within range, and we have to be careful with him as well. But having said that, what we need to do is just focusing on our own race and grab whatever points we can get in the intermediates and also on the sprint stages. So of course we won't let Peter and Matteo get any points for free. But on the other hand, we also have to do our own race. And I'm pretty sure that the race for the green jersey will be decided on Friday stage, and even as late as in Paris. But of course, it's bringing this year a really nice dimension to the race, to the overall race, actually, that there's a big fight for the green jersey. So, yeah, like these days where we are doing a lot of climbs, pretty tough days. Beforehand, we calculate the different scenarios of how time limit will be in terms of making sure that we will arrive within time. So the time limit is decided by the average speed of the winner and the time that it took him to do the stage. So it can vary a bit. For example, today it was like 35 minutes, which is not so much if you're dropped very early. Other days could be above 50 minutes. So it also depends from day to day. But basically, before the stage, we have a pretty good idea of when we can get dropped. And from where we can ease up a bit, also just to try to save the legs a little bit, not arriving at the finish line completely exhausted. So actually, especially at this point in the race, it's also important to use the full time limits. So, I mean, it's no point to arrive 15 minutes before closing time if you can arrive just 5 minutes before time runs out. You obviously saved your legs and saved a lot of energy for coming days.
Pavel Sivakov, Ineos Grenadier.
Hi guys, so yeah, was a nice day out. Good to be back. Keep progressing, you know. 1 week ago, I wouldn't wish to come first on the mountain, fourth. Sorry, on the mountains, I wish I came first, but no, fourth is already a good result for me, honestly. But yeah, from the team point, you know, Richard came second, we had three guys in the breakaway, it was pretty good. Honestly, I thought he won, actually. When I crossed the line, I saw the big screen, I saw him riding there on his own, I thought, wow, Richard won, and in the radio, you know, Xabi Zandio was telling him, yeah, you've got 20 seconds on Reichenbach, so I thought he was in front with Kamna. And then, yeah, I was convinced he won. And then ITV Daniel Fribla, as you called him, told me like, you know, he was second. And then I realized, I was like, oh, shit, you know. And yeah, it was a bit disappointing, obviously. Obviously, I didn't have personally the legs to win. Kamna was clearly stronger, but I think Richard did. Three guys in a break, maybe we could have managed a bit differently. Maybe, you know, pace the climb, try to get there with three guys over the top. And then try to control the race for Richard in the last kick, because I'm convinced he would have beat everyone up there with his punch. Even Alaphilippe wouldn't have been as strong as him. But yeah, that's how it went. You know, now it's easy to say. Second, we should be, yeah, happy, you know. Happy and not happy, because you also have to realize, you know, that it's always better to give it all, finish maybe 10th or whatever. But now, second and fourth, there is that part of frustration, I would say. But no, good day, and good to be back a little bit, you know, third week. That's pretty good. Looks like even with all the crashes and everything, quite a good adaptation to the fatigue, you know. And now looking forward to the next 2 days. Probably tomorrow is going to be a GC day, so better to maybe back off a little bit and really give it the last really, really hard go on the day after. Yeah, there is going to be probably a breakaway day, and it's going to be one of the hardest days of the tour, I guess.